Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter. We're going to begin in the 11th verse there. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him out to the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found, and they began to be merry. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts. Father, I ask that you would accomplish your purpose in us right now. Father, let this be a time that we draw close to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Father's Day is a day that some people forget quite easily, but it is a day worth remembrance. A little boy said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day. It just doesn't cost as much. A father is said to be a man who carries his pictures where his money used to be. Paul Harvey's definition is this: a father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without anesthetic. A father never feels worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be. And this worries him. So he works too hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough, so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody's. Fathers make bets with insurance companies about who will live the longest. One day they lose, and the bet is paid off to those that they leave behind. Fathers. Well, most of us who have had the privilege of being fathers would admit we're not perfect. We haven't been able to accomplish the task like we would like to, and most of us have failed again and again and again, and yet we are thankful that we've had the opportunity. Fathers aren't perfect. I've never known a perfect father. I've never known a perfect person except one. And so the reality is, God gives us an image of fathers. And when God decided that he was going to tell us who he was and how he was, he painted himself as a father. It is not an accident that we call out to the Father. Jesus told us to pray to the Father. Now, most people are familiar with this story. Ralph Waldo Emerson and Charles Dickens both said this was the greatest story ever written of all time. On the surface, it's really simple.
A man had two sons. The two sons grew up and they worked in the household and worked on the land. One of the sons became a little agitated with the thought he knew he wouldn't get everything, and so he decided that it was time for him to have his inheritance early. He wanted to get out into the world. He made a request. "Dad, give me what will come to me when you die. You just don't have to die." The father complied with the request. The wealth was received by the boy. It really should have carried him through several years of life, but it didn't. The Bible says that he wasted what he received on riotous living. Now, to make matters worse, when he had little, famine came, and he had less. He found himself in a situation where he took a job and began tending hogs. One day, so hungry, he looked at what the hogs ate, and he wanted to eat what they were eating. Then he thought, "My father's slaves live better than me. They have plenty to eat and to spare. I will arise, I will go to my father, I will throw myself on my father's mercy, and I will ask if I can come home, not to be a son, because I'm not worthy of that, but if I could just be one of my dad's slaves, I would be so happy." Well, it's a story that has been played out again and again in slightly different ways throughout history, where children have grown up and they have decided to go out into the world on their own. What we see here is rebellion. There is a rebellious spirit in our land today, perhaps like no other time in the world's history. There is rebellion many times in the home. In verse 12, it says, "And the younger of them," the younger son, "said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.'" There were two sons in the household, but these boys were not the same. Now, if you have more than one child, you might understand that your children are not the same. They are not identical. They do not do things just alike. They have their own wants, their own needs, their own desires, their own intentions. It seems kind of strange sometimes that people can grow up in the same household but be absolutely different. And yet, if you have a family and you have more than one kid, you know that's true. And you have to relate to each one as they are. The younger brother doesn't realize how blessed he is to have a loving home, a roof over his head, food to eat. He gets his eyes on the world. He looks at what other people have and what other people are doing, and he just kind of thinks, "Well, I'd be happier off out there." He knew the bulk of his father's estate was going to go to his brother. That's just the way it went in that day. The bulk of the estate would go to the elder child, and so the bulk of the estate. But he had something coming to him because he was a child. And so he reasoned if he could get his inheritance now, then he would be able to go out and really live life the way it was supposed to be lived and have a good time, and everything would just kind of fall together for him. He wanted to get what he could get and leave. Normally, he wouldn't inherit anything from the estate until his father passed away. I mean, that is how it works. But he made the request. He was basically saying, "Dad, I can't wait around here for you to kick the bucket. I want what you got now." In most Middle Eastern homes, you can kind of understand this would not have gone over real well. It wouldn't have gone over very well in American homes either. This type of request would have probably been met with a beating and a disinheriting. But the father has a love for his child, and he wants to care for his child, and he wants to give his child the best. And so he yields. You know, many parents have been shocked to find out that their children are living in rebellion. Many of us, at some point, have lived in rebellion. We might not want our kids to know that, but our parents knew it. It's one thing to desire to leave the father's presence, but it was also his desire to leave the father's will, to live outside the way that the father had taught him to live, to be in open rebellion to the father's purposes and faith. He's being rebellious, and that rebellion grows out of selfishness. Look around you to America. We are seeing a nation living in rebellion that grows out of selfishness. People are saying, I want what I deserve, and I deserve it all. It doesn't matter that they have not worked for anything or tried to earn anything or labored for anything. The selfish heart takes over and rebellion spreads. Notice this boy has a sense of entitlement. May I say that's one of the really difficult things in America today is the sense of undeserved entitlement. He says, give me. And so we see a group of people in our world today that are saying, give me. We are seeing a political party that has come to the point that they think that we can just give everything away. Give me health care. Give me education for free. No tuition. You know, give me. There is no thought that there is a cost to whatever is given. In anybody's world, there is no free lunch. Somebody has to pay for everything at some point. But this young man didn't see that. All he saw was the wealth that he wanted. And so in today's world, we see people living in rebellion, only seeing things that they want, not being willing to put in the actions to get it the right way. Parents often have to defend their rules to their kids. And at some point it comes down to this: my house, my rules. You know, if you're going to live under my roof, then you live under the rules that are under this roof. Now, when kids hear that, they think, okay, I'll just get out from under your roof. And that is exactly what this young boy thought. He was rebellious, and he says, okay, the way to get out of your rules is to get out from under your roof. These that think that seldom take time to count the cost, that it costs something to live out from under the roof. Most follow the reasoning of the rebellious son. Dad, I think it's time for me to go out into the world and live on my own. I just need you to pay for it. Now, isn't that what we're hearing in America today? I think I should live in the finest house. I think I should have the finest things. I should drive the finest car. I just need somebody else to pay for it. Many parents have found out that their children were living in rebellion on their money, buying alcohol, buying drugs, creating illicit relationships, getting into difficult circumstances. You know, most people read this story and they think it's about a rebellious, stubborn, bad child. But that's not why this is in the Bible. This is a story about a compassionate, loving, forgiving, accepting father. This is the Father that we long to be. This is the Father that our God is. And aren't you glad that our God is like this Father? The Father doesn't want the boy to go away from him. He doesn't want him to go away from his purposes. But he loves him. And because he loves him, he's willing to release him. Our Heavenly Father does not want any of us to walk away from His will because that is disaster for us. But because He loves us, He gives us the opportunity to reject Him. God wants you to follow Him. God wants you to be in His will. But God gives you the right to say no to Him. The God who made us certainly has the power to control us. He could make us robots if He desired, but He wants love instead. He wants us to respond out of our heart. He wants us to come and follow Him because we desire to follow Him. Isn't that what all fathers want? They want their children to follow them and follow the rules and to obey and to do things right because they love them. That's what our Father God wants. He wants us to love Him and to follow Him out of our hearts. But He gives this son the inheritance and allows him to leave. One of the absolute most difficult things for a loving parent to do is to see their child follow a bad decision. They know the likely outcome. They know the damage it will cause. Rebellion brings damage. But it also brings ruin. In verse 13, "And not many days after this, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. And there wasted his substance on riotous living." Being away from the Father, that's what he wanted to do. He went far away. He journeyed to a far country, possibly Rome. He desired to be away from his father's influence and away from his father's knowledge, and so that's what he did. Like many young people, he knew how to want, and he knew how to spend. And so if he wanted, he spent, but he did not spend wisely. He certainly did not save. He did not know how to handle things correctly. It says he wasted it. That word wasted means he threw it to the wind. It is the picture of throwing wheat into the air so that the wind can take the shaft and blow it away. And it really, it quite literally means that he blew it. He just blew away the wealth. In today's world, young people in our nation know the benefits for most of having a roof over their head. Most know what it's like to eat more than one meal a day. Most know what it's like to sleep in a home that has the temperature regulated to some measure of comfort. Just out of curiosity, how many of you grew up without air conditioning? Yeah, I think our later service may not have the same response, but yeah. So we know what it's like to actually be hot and not be able to do anything about it. But in today's world, that's not how most children live. They know how to turn on the lights, although I must say I have found few that know how to turn them off. They can operate cell phones, TVs, computers, and all kinds of gadgets that we cannot. The problem comes in their lack of knowledge that things come with a cost. This young man had no thought of saving anything. He just was involved in riotous living. If it feels good, do it. Isn't that where our world is now? Spend it. If you got it, spend it. Just Throw it out there. It'll be okay. And so he lived in a lifestyle away from the Father's will. My friend, if you are living in a lifestyle away from our Heavenly Father's will, you are in danger. You're headed down a wrong path that's going to bring the wrong things into your life, and it is time for you to wake up. We need to pray. We need to pray for the people of our nation that are living away from the founding principles of our nation. Because moving away from those principles that have allowed us to be a great nation will allow our nation to fall apart. And there needs to be a waking up. The word used here for riotous living usually involves idol worship. And you know what I have found? Many people that move away from rules and regulations, many people that live in rebellion are really worshiping something else or someone else. Now, the situation was bad. He didn't have anything. He wasted everything he had, but it got worse. The famine came. And when the famine came, those that had little were in greater difficulty. You see, when a famine comes, you have to have done one of two things. You either have to have stored up food, or you have to have stored up funds. He had stored up neither. Today it's suggested that you need 3 to 6 months of living expenses put away so that you could survive when the storm comes. Listen, the virus hit and many people were not prepared. Our nation was really not prepared. A minimum of 3 to 6 months, many people don't have 3 to 6 minutes. Well, the crisis came. The prodigal had not saved anything. And so he was in great, great difficulty. When all else failed, he decided he was going to do the absolute worst thing in the world he could think of to do. He got a job. He was actually going to have to lower himself to working. And so he went to work, and in working, you know, working teaches you something. Working is good for us. Working develops character. Working teaches you value. And as he began to work, he began to learn some of those things. Now, if there was one job a self-respecting Jewish boy would not do, it would be tend the hogs. But he ended up tending the hogs. And at some point tending the hogs, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to his senses. Have you ever tended hogs? I have. May I say there is a certain aroma to tending hogs? And just saying it, it comes back to me. I know it very well. And I can tell you this. In my limited time tending hogs, I never once, never even a little bit, wanted to eat what they ate. Now, I was okay with eating them later, but that's a whole different thing. He was so hungry, and I never got that hungry, but if he was so hungry, he wanted to eat what the hogs were eating. The Jews thought these were filthy animals, unclean animals. The Bible says he came to himself. Well, I tell you, one whiff of hog slop will clear your senses. So, you know, he came to himself. And as he came to himself, he began to realize the servants at my father's house have it better than this. Those that I thought nothing about, those that trotted under my feet, those that were less than me when I was there, they have it so much better than I. And he began to have respect for the position of a slave. He had to find himself down and out before he began to look up so he could get out. And he began to realize they have it better than I. Listen, I will go back home. I will throw myself at my Father's mercy. No more is he saying, give me. No more is he saying, I deserve. No more is he saying, it's mine, give it to me. No, he's saying, I don't deserve anything. He's saying, I've been wrong, and I've been wrong to heaven. I've been wrong to you, and I am ruined, and I come to you. Listen, when you get to the point that you are willing to turn away from your selfishness, turn away from your pridefulness, when you get to the point that you realize you are nothing, he is everything, and you're willing to throw yourself at the Father's feet, then you're willing to move to repentance. And that changes everything. In verse 18, I will arise and go to my father's and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. He thought he was going to live the high life, but he lived the low life. And he goes to his father, and he doesn't say, I deserve anything. He goes to his father realizing he deserves nothing. He's learned a lot of lessons. He falls down before his father, repenting of his sins. I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to live outside your will. I just want to be your servant. I just want to be one of your slaves. We need to turn from an attitude of demanding that we be given things or positions and find a humility that's willing to bow down to God and say, God, whatever you desire. God, we will just be at your mercy. We want to follow your will. We want your purposes. Listen, you want to change America? It's only going to happen as we follow God's will and God's purposes. As we begin to live for him among the people that are out there and allow them to see us bowing before God. While the son was still afar off, the father saw him coming, and the father didn't wait for the son to get to him. The father ran. I don't know how the father ran. I don't know how fast he was. Most fathers aren't very fast. And so, but he ran, and it's more the effort than anything else. He ran to the boy, and before the boy could get his speech out, he had memorized it. He had gone over and over and over in his head, and before he could get it out, the father was ordering a special robe for him, putting a ring of sonship on his hand, was killing the fatted calf to celebrate him. The father saw him coming because the father had not stopped looking for him. Now, I don't know about you dads, but I imagine most of you dads have spent some time looking for your kids. There's those nights when they go out and you just don't quite get rested until you know they're in the house and you know, you're looking for the kids. You know, you got them on your heart. You got them on your concern. You don't know quite that they're safe. You want to know that they're safe. And so you keep looking for your kids. May I tell you, our Heavenly Father is looking for you. He loves you. He keeps his eyes on you. He wants you to be safe. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have the best. And he keeps looking for you. Oh, to know that God loves me so much that he's watching for me. Listen, he's not looking for you to punish you. He is looking for you to bless you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he waits for you today. He longs for you today. He died for you on the cross. He wants you to have salvation, and he urges you to come to him, and he desires it. And the Father God desires it. And if you are willing to admit that you're a sinner and turn from the sin and repent and come to Jesus, he is willing to save your soul and to bring you into the family and to put the robe upon you and to celebrate you for all eternity. And if you're a Christian, you're already in the family, and you're drifting away from God's purposes, and you're drifting away from God's will, may I tell you, the Father wants you back. The Father wants to bless you. The Father wants to use you. The Father wants to make your life what it should be. And it only happens as you surrender to the Father's will. And so, believer, you may need to ask the Father to forgive you. And He will meet you with forgiveness, and He will meet you with love, and He will meet you with direction. Oh, how blessed we are if we know God as our Father. There is no greater Father. And for those that this day is a pain for, because some people did not have good fathers, and this day is a horror for them to think of celebrating fathers, they can't think of it. Our Heavenly Father is there for you, and He will meet all your needs, and He will carry you through, and He will smooth out the world for you, that you might know His best. But you must surrender to the Father by receiving the Son. And I encourage you to do exactly that. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, right now I ask that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, for those that are here that do not know you, that they would be willing to ask Jesus to save their souls right now. Father, for those of us that know you, that we would be willing to come under the Father, that we would walk with you, that we would walk according to your will and way, that we would see your victory and your deliverance and how we praise you for your love. Father, I pray that we would honor you by how we live. Father, that because of the way we live for you, that people would know that we belong to you. I thank you, Lord, on this Father's Day, that you are our God and Father. I thank you that we will never be left alone. I thank you, Father, that you will meet our every need in this life and in the life to come. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have decided to ask Jesus into your heart, I ask you to come and just let me know that.